In just the past 2 weeks, we've seen protests on college campuses grow from isolated demonstrations on campuses like Columbia University in New York City into a full-blown nationwide movement with supports from students and a public that has grown hoarse from screaming enough is enough after each and every report of death and destruction that comes out of Israel's war on Palestine. And the constant bewilderment that comes as a result of our leaders' commitment to continue funding this war with our own tax dollars despite the staggering and horrific violence and dehumanization that is on full display, not only through intrepid reporting on the ground, but also from humanitarian groups, volunteer medical staff, citizens themselves, and a near endless supply of graphic and upsetting video footage that is, in many cases, filmed by members of the Israeli army themselves, where they appear to find glee in the death and destruction that they are causing as retaliation to an attack back on October 7th.
So since the conflict began, over 35,000 people have been killed, and honestly, at this point, they stopped counting. There's no way to count. That was the number 3 months ago at this point. Mm-hmm. It's probably a lot higher, and even back then, people who analyze this shit for a living were saying that it was already being undercounted.
Yeah.
We won't know the full extent for a long time, but it's a lot of fucking people that have been killed, and a substantial amount of those people are women, children, or just men who aren't in Hamas,
yeah,
who have families and want to live, they're dead. In addition to that, nearly 100 journalists have been killed alongside over 200 humanitarian aid workers. And in one well-documented case from back in December, Israeli forces also killed at least three of the very hostages that they were purportedly attempting to save by initiating this massive war on Palestine. In just the past few weeks alone, the IDF killed seven humanitarian aid workers who were there with the World Central Kitchen to provide meals to a population that is intentionally being starved by the actions of the IDF, and Israeli citizens who have sabotaged or blocked resources and aid from entering the country. Mm-hmm. They're just sitting there at the gate. Yep. No food gets through here. Yeah. We're the good guys, by the way. And yeah, it's to the point where, bafflingly, the United States has been forced to build a new pier on the coast of Gaza in order to bring in humanitarian aid because our friends, the State of Israel, won't let it happen.
Yeah.
So our good friends who we love, we're just going to...
The ones that we're giving billions of dollars to.
The ones who we love who can do nothing wrong, and if you disagree, you're an anti-Semite. They're not letting us feed these starving people, so we're going to...
We got to build a pier.
We're just going to build our own pier.
Yeah. So clearly, U.S. officials are aware of how dire the situation is, which is bizarre. It's a bizarre thing to think about when our country is providing funding to the country that is starving the one that we are also appearing to want to help. It seems like the easier option would just be to tell them to knock it off with the fucking war crimes and maybe stop sending them billions upon billions of dollars to do so. No amount of finger-wagging is going to stop Netanyahu or the IDF from doing what they are doing when they've been given the tacit approval of everything by way of massive U.S. funding.
Yeah, and they seem to, they have so many bombs and bullets that they're just like, fuck it.
Yeah.
We don't have to be careful about how we use these things. We've got a million of them, and we've got a blank check for a million more. So let that shit fly.
And it's not just a bunch of scholars, historians, humanitarians, and college students who are furious about what's happening in Palestine right now. The United Nations has launched probes into the actions of Israel and recently adopted a resolution that calls for Israel to be held accountable for possible war crimes and crimes against humanity in the Gaza Strip. In response to this, a representative for Israel in Geneva, quote, accused the council of having long abandoned the Israeli people and long defended Hamas.
So more recently than that, the International Criminal Court is reportedly on the cusp of issuing arrest warrants for members of the Israeli government over accusations of their involvement in, quote, preventing the delivery of humanitarian aid to the Gaza Strip and pursuing an excessively harsh response to the Hamas-led October 7th attacks on Israel, according to two of the five officials, all of whom spoke on the condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to publicly discuss the matter. It was later reported by NBC News that Israel is greatly concerned that the International Criminal Court may issue arrest warrants for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, and senior military officials as early as this week, an Israeli official told NBC News. Now we should point out, the ICC has not officially confirmed these warrants as of when we filmed this, and the original investigation also involved arrest warrants for Hamas leaders, and that, you know, despite the rumor of arrest warrants for members of the Israeli government lacking confirmation, top Israeli officials almost immediately said there would be consequences if such warrants were issued. And those consequences would, of course, be mainly directed at the Palestinian Authority, but the Palestinians.
Yeah.
More people will die until conditions improve.
Needless to say, it's quite easy to understand why a bunch of college students at a pivotal moment of their lives, in a situation where they are actually able to make a change, or at the very least, voice their displeasure at the fact that our country is connected and complicit in a war that has resulted in the deaths of tens of thousands of people, people who had already been marginalized, bullied, discriminated against, and killed for decades leading up to this most recent siege. I guess you could understand why they're upset.
No, they're being paid by Iran somehow. Iran, a country with no access to the global banking system, is paying for all of these Costco tents and all of these pallets of Costco water.
Yeah.
How'd they get that water? That's a lot of water. It's fucking $4, you idiot.
So these protests, they're also coming at a time where one politician in particular, Joe Biden, is in a position where his decisions, actions, and responses to the concerns of his own citizens will significantly alter the outcome of this year's election. And so far, he has completely failed on that front by, at best, simply stating that Israel's violent response has been a little over the top, and at worst, vilifying the students who are involved in the campus protests.
Hey, that's not fair. Biden has, on numerous occasions, been privately very concerned and upset.
Yes.
According to sources.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, he's still giving them everything they want, but he feels really bad about that, and I think that counts.
Wagging his finger, shaking his head to let everyone know that he disapproves, while also basically writing blank checks with our taxpayer dollars.
Also, I don't know why you kids are so mad. I just legalized weed. Well, sort of.
That was such a funny gimme. Like, toss something out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's good news. It's also the kind of thing I'm like, you could have done that on day one.
Yes.
You clearly, obviously waited for a moment when your approval among the important voting bloc that you need to win this election, because they were pivotal to winning the last election, does not like you at all.
No.
You're throwing them a bone, and we're not falling for it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So obviously, we're not experts in political strategy, but we would assume that alienating and vilifying entire generations of citizens over their protests of violent destruction overseas, which is being financed by U.S. taxpayer dollars, and these students' own tuition payments, thanks to these institutions being invested in various weapons manufacturers and companies with direct ties to Israel's war on Gaza. It seems like a stupid fucking move for a person who represents the political party that should be, in theory, ideologically opposed to what is happening in Gaza.
Yeah.
But no. Instead, Biden did a whole press conference, an unannounced one.
Yeah.
Those are always the good ones. A whole press conference about how the students are protesting wrong, as if there's some totally perfect way to protest that has never been tried before, to the point of exhaustion over the many, many, many years of unrest
they're not protesting the specific way that I want them to protest. Oh, what way is that? It's a secret. You can't know about it.
The secret is vote. You vote.
Yeah.
It's a never-ending cycle of Democrats seeming to defend people's right to protest in, like, the very abstract sense, but in reality, no, not like that. Also, not like that. Not like that either, actually.
And certainly not like that.
Yeah.
Mm. But you'll find a way.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously,
this was so this pissed me off. I'm already on the razor's edge. Okay? And this shit drove me insane. This man went on TV like 12 hours after, like, the LAPD went into a relatively extremely peaceful protest and made it violent.
Yeah.
And he's going on TV being like, these students, they're just so violent.
And that comes after a night where peaceful protests turned violent because of fucking pro-Israeli people coming to start shit.
A bunch of freaks showed up with, like, fireworks and sticks and beat the shit out of students while the LAPD just sat there.
Well, what are we gonna do?
And then the way this is framed the next day from the president and on all the major news networks is, like,
how violent the protests are.
Yeah, thank God those police went in and stopped the violence.
Now, obviously, there are even more reprehensible and outrageous actions and statements coming out of conservatives and the extreme right regarding these protests and just the war in general.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the blatant hypocrisy regarding what they consider freedom of speech, the actual anti-Semitism that runs rampant among their ranks, that this war in Palestine is actually the first step in fulfilling the end times prophecy that they believe will result in the return of Jesus Christ and an entirely Christian world, and the general anti-Muslim sentiment that's always been there. Also, the fact that every major conflict could ultimately benefit their attempts at installing a true authoritarian government here. It's unthinkable that right now, President Biden seems to be doing everything in his power to alienate and vilify a generation of educated and engaged citizens, when you consider what's actually on the line here.
Yeah, the whole, like, vote for me or we get fascism argument, it really gets pretty seriously undermined when you look at what's happening right now.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, so you're saying that if
things will get this bad,
if we vote for you again, this... What are you saying? Like, it'll be worse?
On the opposite end, it's like...
At least the other guy's not the one beating you with sticks?
Yeah.
Fuck off.
It's like Trump campaigning on this stuff previously, where he was showing video from his own during his own administration and saying it was Joe Biden's America.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to not have people realize that that's bullshit.
Yeah, no, it's... God.
But then again, as we've seen over the past few weeks, the line between the two parties continues to blur, and it's becoming increasingly difficult to say that things could be worse, despite that actually being true.
Yeah, no, they all joined hands this week to pass...
Chant, fuck Joe Biden.
Well, yeah.
The protesters did.
The Congress all joined hands this week to, like, try and pass some laws that basically make it, like, a law that criticizing Israel is anti-Semitic.
Yeah, we get to that.
Which, so the most glaring example is, you know, the actions of the police at the behest of local officials who have stormed into otherwise peaceful protests decked out with riot gear in just the most insane numbers. Kind of the numbers that would make you believe that war is happening on U.S. soil.
Mm-hmm.
The videos that have been coming out of these campuses over the past week have been especially damning. And the result so far is that over 2,000 protesters across the nation have been arrested, with some students being assaulted by counter-protesters, as well as the police themselves. Students and faculty.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them just little old ladies.
Yep.
Had to do it to him, I guess.
Some of them students who were shot in the face with less than lethal rounds.
One of them, a little old lady who is literally the head of the Jewish Studies Department at her university.
Yep.
What an anti-Semite. So UCLA in particular was the most recent shocking scene where, beginning late on Tuesday night, counter-protesters repeatedly attempted to instigate a violent confrontation with anti-war protesters by trying to break through a barricade, throwing items, assaulting people, lighting off fireworks towards the encampments, and more. All while, conveniently in this scenario, the police just stood by and played a little bit of Candy Crush, took some footage, just did fucking nothing for hours while getting paid by my fucking taxes.
Yeah, one day later, police moved into the encampment area, started dismantling everything and arresting students while in full head-to-toe riot gear. Oh, and then complaining about the mess that was left behind when they were finished, as if the students had time to clean things up as they were being forced out of the area and arrested. Wow, look at these filthy protesters with all their trash everywhere. They must actually hate the climate. Oh, no, we were, like, forcibly being shoved out of the area. So these arrests followed another chaotic night over in New York City, where officials at Columbia University ordered police to enter the campus halls and, quote, restore safety and order, which resulted in shocking images of arrests amid claims that these protests were not only violent, but that terrorists were involved, and that the movement was being infiltrated by non-students who were there for nefarious reasons.
Yeah, they got these crazy bike locks that you can't get anywhere except on the official Columbia University website, where they recommend that specific bike lock.
And many of these claims were debunked almost immediately, including the somehow shocking revelation that students need bike chains to, get this, lock up their bikes. Also, as was pointed out immediately after the press conference, where NYPD reps held up a bike lock as proof of professional involvement in the protest.
This is a terrorist bike lock right here.
The so-called terrorist bike lock weapons were actually, as Elliot mentioned, these bike locks were listed for sale and endorsed on the Columbia University's own website.
I saw a clip of, like, a cop literally holding it, and a reporter, a local reporter, is like, showed him on her phone, like, and he's like, that's not the same one.
This is a terrorist bike lock. You don't understand. The tiny journalist brain.
We are being gaslit at every fucking level. It is driving me insane.
Yeah.
So following the raid on Columbia's campus, and in what can only be described as completely fucking dystopian and bizarre fashion, the NYPD released quick sizzle reel of their very cool operation where they went onto a college campus to make arrests and bust a few skulls for the inexcusable crime of challenging the government's war machine, being upset that their tuition is funding a genocide and protesting the, as Biden himself puts it, over-the-top response from Israel towards the Palestinian people.
Mm-hmm.
The five-minute documentary, which is edited like an intense action movie, it legitimately feels like something out of like a Paul Verhoeven movie. And we're not exactly sure that the NYPD and Mayor Eric Adams are going to get the response they anticipated out of basically doing a marketing reel for abuse and brutality at the hands of the police.
Hey, it looks pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, who, by the way, constantly and justifiably being critiqued for standing around playing mobile games instead of stopping actual crime.
But hey, when there's skulls to bust over at the college protests, break out the riot gear.
It's just, yeah, like...
there's a lot of things you could look at and say, wow, like, look, this response is outrageous considering...
dressed up like you're going to war to go against a bunch of, like, 19-year-olds.
Yeah, rolling up in...
feel real strong.
What amounts to
what
tanks.
What a big man.
Yeah.
But yeah, or in the case of, like, the troopers on the University of Texas campus being big, tough guys and roughing up protesters while just a few years ago they all stood outside of an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, while there was an active gunman inside killing all the children.
Yeah.
Which it does warm my heart a little bit that that has now caught on as a popular protest chant in Texas.
Yeah.
Being like, you let those children die at Uvalde, essentially.
And now you're here roughing
never
up,
let them forget that shit.
Roughing us up for literally sitting on campus and with signs.
Also, the Texas protests, they're like, some of these protesters had guns on them. It's like, yeah.
It's Texas.
You're in Texas.
That's the law.
You passed laws that make that legal. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You don't like people walking around with concealed guns on them? That's on you.
Now, speaking of twisting the truth to fit a specific narrative, it doesn't get more aggravating than elected officials and members of the news media framing these protests and the student protesters as something they are not. Over the past 2 weeks, if your primary source of information was mainstream outlets and channels, these protesters were immediately called terrorists or pro-Hamas or anti-Semitic and every other negative term that could be thrown at them instead of anyone just simply listening to why they were protesting, which is that the students at Columbia and now other colleges wanted their universities to divest from companies that support Israel's war on Palestine and for the war to come to an end in general, but specifically the fact that their tuition was helping to finance a genocide.
Yeah, and these protests, by the way, especially at certain schools, primarily led by Jewish organizations, yes, like Jewish Voice for Peace.
Involving student bodies.
Those dirty anti-Semites.
Teachers themselves also being involved. Instead of that, all these protesters were simply labeled anti-Semitic terrorists, and politicians and police have used those descriptions to clamp down on the protests and convince people that it's actually okay to bust these kids up and arrest them.
Yeah, police in this moment, they're actually Antifa.
Yeah, I guess so.
They're fighting Nazis.
They are dressed in all black in a lot of the scenarios. And,
yeah, they're black blocked. So in one particularly damning scenario, as reported on by Ken Klippenstein, who, side note, you can go read his entire post about it, but he quit his job at the Intercept in protest and is going solo. So you should go support his solo venture if you can afford it. He is the FOIA king.
Yeah.
Nobody can FOIA like the Clip Man.
Yep.
But yeah, we'll leave links below. You can check it out. But in one of his first reports after leaving The Intercept, Klippenstein backtraces the claim that students on college campuses were chanting and promoting death to America, a fabricated piece of information that media organizations and politicians have since claimed is a key slogan of the protests, and one that they've used to rally opposition and demand action against those students, protesters, and university presidents around the country. Turns out...
yeah.
There were no chants. There's no organized effort to bring about the death of America through these protests. And it was all sparked by one anonymous flyer on a campus in Michigan. But it's a great example of the lengths that some are willing to go to in order to claim that this movement is something it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just people are really bad at fucking scale. We saw this with the George Floyd protests, but like, you know, when actions are unfolding in every major U.S. city. Like, if you want to paint a picture that everyone involved in this is bad, you can probably find enough,
yeah,
like, quick clips of footage to assemble together to paint that picture.
Yep.
And that's been
definitely
pretty
used.
Fucking annoying, too. You would think, based on the way this is being presented, that...
there is a bunch of anti-Semites out fighting... yeah. Jewish people on college campuses.
There's no such thing as a perfect protest, and to expect that is just, you're delusional.
Yeah. Also, just considering the very human nature of you're just sitting around and making your voices heard, and then cops show up in riot gear.
Yeah.
That is going to exacerbate tensions. No,
it's a police riot.
Yes.
Anyway, here's some selects from Ken Klippenstein's piece, which you can read in full using the link in the description below.
The FBI is being pressed by members of Congress to investigate the student protests, both for possible foreign financing and for students chanting death to America, a phrase Fox News says is becoming a key slogan of the protests. There's just one problem. Students never said it. I've searched, scoured photographs, and waded through social media. There's no evidence that any of the student demonstrators taking to dozens of college campuses in recent weeks to protest Israel's war in Gaza said death to America. The rumor began with a single incident in which an anonymously authored pamphlet found at a University of Michigan encampment contained a passage saying, "Freedom for Palestine means death to America." Klippenstein then provides numerous examples of this phrase being used against the protest movement from countless talking heads and elected officials on all sides of the political spectrum, and his reporting continues.
Last month, five Republican congresspeople representing Michigan, which has a large Muslim population, sent a letter to Attorney General Merrick Garland calling for an investigation into death to America chants. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell also referenced the phrase in remarks on the Senate floor regarding higher education and judicial nominations. Quote, chants of "We are Hamas" and "Death to America" by students on college campuses are national security threats, Senator Marsha Blackburn said on X, formerly Twitter. Put any student who promotes terrorism on behalf of Hamas on the terrorist watch list. That is not what's happening. As a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, which oversees the FBI, there's little doubt that Blackburn's statement reached FBI headquarters, and such ignorance might even prod them to action. So, yeah, he speaks about how the FBI is absolutely already involved with these universities and details how the relationships between universities and investigators came to exist, but ends with this important note about these specific death to America claims. Investigations hover in the background, as much looking for federal offenses as responding to them. None of this is because there is any intelligence validating a controlling foreign hand or financing of the student protests. It is, in fact, the news media frenzy that is the most dangerous. Fox and other conservative outlets repeat the false allegation that the students are chanting death to America. Commentators and even members of Congress pick up the claim without checking. Social media becomes saturated and the new reality emerges.
Yes. And now, because of things like this and the whole outside agitator accusations and a week of painting these otherwise peaceful protesters as terrorist sympathizers at best, or at worst, actual terrorists, House Republicans have launched multiple investigations into the college protests in a move that, again, regardless of what the actual protests are about, frame the protests themselves as illegal, chaotic war zones filled with Nazis and terrorists.
Yeah, they're painting this like as if it was like, remember the Chaz up in Seattle?
Mm-hmm.
The Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone?
Yes.
Which even that was way overblown by the media, but it was still like pretty wild turn of events, but they're framing it as that, and like I've seen pictures of like, first of all, college campuses are quite large, especially the universities where this is happening. UCLA is like
massive.
Yeah. It would take you hours to walk from one end to the other. And yeah, pictures of like, here I am. The protest is in this photo. You can barely see it because it's that little dot right there on the lawn.
So yeah, they are not that. And I think the big problem with elected officials when it comes to these protests in particular is that the demands are morally sound and reasonable. So it's pretty hard to attack the protesters by telling the truth, because the truth is that they're witnessing a genocide and the intentional starvation of a group of people, and they're just trying to make their voices heard in a way that actually affects change.
And that's why we can't talk about any of that. We need to focus specifically on decorum and the right way to protest.
Ugh.
And our norms, our precious norms.
Yeah, well, here's the Washington Post with more on these imminent investigations. And please keep in mind that none of the protests across the dozens of campuses have mentioned or promoted anti-Semitism at all.
Excuse me, one of the protests, they said, we need food, but do not send us bagels, because they hate Jews. But, I'm finding out they had just hundreds of bagels. They have too many bagels,
uh-huh.
So they didn't need any more bagels.
Well, no, we got the audio clip. Run with it.
Yep.
But yes, keep in mind that like these protests, they're not promoting anti-Semitism or anything like that. We've already been over it. Their demands are very simple, but keep that in mind when you read the article.
House Republicans are deploying their oversight powers to scrutinize pro-Palestinian protests and anti-Semitism on college campuses, aiming to highlight the hot-button issue ahead of the November election. At least four Republican committee chairs are now investigating the student-led demonstrations as part of what House Speaker Mike Johnson has described as a house-wide probe of anti-Semitism in America. The scale of the investigative efforts highlights the GOP's eagerness to use the protests, which divide the Democratic Party and draw attention away from former President Donald Trump's criminal trial, as a political cudgel. Johnson has led the charge, visiting Columbia University last week and blaming Democrats for unleashing what he called lawlessness and chaos.
Following Johnson's example, a handful of GOP lawmakers made a trek across Washington on Wednesday to hold a news conference at GWU's pro-Palestinian encampment. Shortly after the lawmakers' appearance, the House passed the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, which would require the Education Department to employ the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance's definition of anti-Semitism to enforce anti-discrimination laws. The bill, introduced by Representative Michael Lawler, was approved on a bipartisan basis, 320-91, with a minority of Democrats and Republicans voting against the bill over concerns that it would infringe on Americans' First Amendment rights. And again, This is another one of the bills or the acts that it really sounds good when you just read the title of it.
Yeah, man, I think we can all agree anti-Semitism is bad.
Yeah.
But
yeah, they're using—
This is not anti-Semitism.
They're using creative wording to clamp down on people's freedom of speech while also labeling them as anti-Semitic for simply disagreeing with Israel.
Also, everyone involved in crafting that definition for the International Holocaust Remembrance group has gone on record saying, hey, we did that just, like, for our own purposes. You really shouldn't be passing any laws based on this definition. Mm-hmm. That would be insane. Mm-hmm. Please don't do that. Anyway, all of this is to say that one of the major turning points in these protests were the claims that Jewish students felt unsafe on campus because of the protests, despite there being zero evidence that any students were in danger because of student protesters. It seems almost too simple to point out the irony of actual student safety as hundreds of police officers are busting through encampments and into universities across the country over the past week or so, arresting people and in some cases shooting them with beanbags or filling the air with pepper spray. Seems like a hell of a lot of students probably feel a lot less safe than they did 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Or 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll leave it there for now. That was nice to get off my chest.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's where things are, and it is so frustrating.
Uh-huh.
I don't like where anything is headed.
No.
Feels like we are on a train.
A crazy train.
A crazy train. We're coming off the rails.
It's
on a crazy train.
Yeah.
But that's how it goes. Millions of people living as fools. Anyway, I'll leave it with that. But before we move on, we do want to promote the bail funds for students across the country because, a lot of them getting thrown in jail. If you're looking for a way to help and are confused about where you can affect the most change, please head to campusbailfunds.com.
Link in the description.
A great, easy website. You just type it in. Our friend Jordan set it up. And yeah, it has specific links for each campus as well as a national charity organization that distributes funds where they're needed most. We'll leave a link down below, and yeah, any pocket change you can throw in there would help a ton.
Yeah, and it feels weird to cover something else after all of that, especially after seeing the never-ending onslaught of upsetting videos and reporting from the past 2 weeks. And I'm sure that I'm forgetting some important points that I wanted to make or things that I wanted to mention specifically that have been bouncing around in my brain for the past few days, but Pobody's nerfed. Apologies for that. Also, it might be jarring that you're hearing about serious stuff from two silly YouTube guys, but we're trying to use our shred of influence to attempt to set the record straight about what's going on. And if we didn't try to help, an entire generation of people would be stuck listening to a guy who rubs his bloody gums all over his bedroom walls attempt to manufacture consent for an authoritarian police state in between marathon sessions of Warcraft or something.
He really is a disgusting human being.
Yeah. Who is really leaning into the worst parts of his community.
Twitch streamers, I think, are just like, there's something in the gene that makes you want to stream is also the same gene that makes you way more inclined to just reactionary politics in general. There are a few exceptions, but generally speaking, that's the way it goes. But hey, let's somehow find a way to pivot into some updates and other stories to lighten the mood a bit. Or at least distract.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, here's something that will definitely lighten the mood.
Cool!
Death dogs.
Oh.
Well, okay. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, she killed her dog. Yes, we talked about this. That was not Not as lighthearted as I was hoping, but it's really depressing. Yeah, and we covered it at length in a previous video this week. We do have an update, though, to that story, because Kristi Noem, she's calling it fake news now. She's pivoted to calling it fake news.
Yeah.
The thing I wrote in that book, yeah, you would believe that, wouldn't you?
You believe my own words, you moron?
Yeah, she's saying that the story that she wrote about herself in her book is being manipulated and used against her. You dumb bitch. You wrote the fucking book. My brother in Christ. People are quoting your book. What are you talking about? Kristi, come on. You want to be vice president? Oh my God. So in the book, she said that she had a 14-month-old dog that was unruly and I guess killed some chickens. So therefore, she took it down to the gravel pit and shot it to death. Shot it multiple times because somehow she missed the first
time. No, that was the goat.
That was the goat. Sorry.
The dog she hated so much, she got it the first try.
Yeah, no scope.
Yeah.
She shot the dog and then she's like, I feel like I need to kill more of my animals.
I'm already covered in blood. Yeah. I'm already going to have to do laundry.
Yeah.
Why don't we just make this a twofer?
Who else on this farm needs to die right now?
Yeah.
So she found her least favorite goat, one that's eaten all the tin cans. Shot that goat, but like missed and wounded it.
Yeah.
And was like, oh, and then shot it again. But she had to walk back to her truck to get another shell. What a scene.
This would have never happened if a crafty spider had written some goat above the pen. Kristi Noem would have seen that message.
Some goat.
And she would have said, well, there might be some mileage left in this goat. We could get the whole town out here to pay some money to gawk at it.
Or if the goat had improbably... like somehow learned how to like herd the dog.
Yeah.
And
wow.
The goat had been like, what? A goat can't do that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Amazing. We got to keep this goat alive.
Yeah.
And not kill it.
James Cromwell will not be shooting this goat because this goat is some goat. And then we're going to send that goat to the city.
But yeah, somehow reporting on that makes it fake news that is intentionally being spread to make her look bad. And also, it totally wasn't a puppy that she killed. That dog was 14 months old. So come on, guys.
Sorry to bring it back to Palestine, but yes, you see this a similar approach with like, well, just because, like, yeah, you keep claiming that like they're killing children, but clearly that is a 17-year-old.
If she didn't kill that dog herself, the dog would have definitely attacked and killed her family. So actually, she's a hero. And why is no one clapping?
Yeah. She makes those tough decisions so that the rest of us don't have to.
Yeah. While we're out living our lives, she is busy on a farm somewhere murdering animals.
She's like the John Wick, the reverse John Wick. She just goes around killing hundreds of dogs.
So here's The Guardian. Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota, whose chance of being Donald Trump's presidential running mate was widely deemed over after she published a description of shooting dead a dog and a goat, claimed reports of the story were fake news, but also that the dog in question, Cricket, a 14-month-old wire-haired pointer, was extremely dangerous and deserved her fate. You know how the fake news works, Noem told Fox News. They leave out some or most of the facts of a story. They put in the worst spin on it, and that's what happened in this case.
Yes, she deserved to die, and I hope she burns in hell.
Quote, I hope people really do buy this book and they find out the truth of the story. Because the truth of the story is that this was a working dog, and it was not a puppy. It was a dog that was extremely dangerous. And I gotta love that she was like, actually buy my book and you'll see for yourself.
Yeah, I guess you'll just have to head down to Barnes & Noble and find out for yourself.
Lady, you're on Fox News talking directly to people who would otherwise fully support you. Why don't you just tell them directly what happened and why you had to murder your dog?
Yeah.
Why should they wait and go get your book and read it and see if what is true when you're already on Hannity right now?
Yeah.
Explaining that context is missing from this story. So why don't you just fill people in? You know these fuckers don't read.
Yeah, they really don't.
You wrote the book in the first place. So you could say that you were a best-selling author while having no one fucking read it.
Yeah.
So just, why don't you explain to us why this was justified?
Tell the story again.
So it's weird. And instead, she's still attempting to frame this story as proof that she is ready for the national spotlight and willing to do the hard thing and make the difficult decisions, which, if killing your own puppy is considered training for future decision-making, I would hate to see what tough decisions that she is willing to make in a position of national power.
Yeah, we're going to turn the White House lawn into a big gravel pit.
I was thinking more...
We're going to kill that grass and fill it with gravel.
I was thinking more Christy Noem saying that protesters are extremely dangerous.
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm just taking this even more literally.
Yes.
We're tearing out the White House lawn. Everybody claps. Yay, fuck lawns. And replacing it with a giant gravel pit. Boo, dead dogs.
Well, hey, it's drought tolerant.
It is.
Woo woo! But also, it's riddled with dead bodies of my enemies.
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
I'm a big fan of gravel, and this news has really, it sucks.
It's good for many things.
I like gravel a lot, and now it's tainted by
I can't even walk by a gravel pit anymore without seeing just an image of a happy little... And by the way, not to go back into the story again, but like, she, throughout the entire fucking retelling of her own story, was talking about how happy and full of life the dog was.
Yeah, the dog was happy. I had to put a stop to it.
It was filled with joy.
I had to wipe that smile off its face with some double O buckshot.
Jesus. All right.
So, okay, that story, yep, it was a bummer. I mean, there's definitely, it's so absurd that it is funny, but yeah, it sucks.
At base level, horrible.
Yeah, that dog should have been rehomed.
Mm-hmm.
Surely there is a positive story out there, though, to end this episode on, right?
You
please,
hope, yeah.
God. Oh, here's one. So a child in North Carolina thought that there was a monster in their closet, and that turned out to be not true.
Woo! Yeah, all right. Good news story.
Actually, it was 50,000 bees.
Oh, okay.
So here's NBC News. After believing a monster was responsible for the strange noises coming from the wall near her closet for the past 8 months, a North Carolina toddler finally knows what all the buzz was about. The little girl's mother, Ashley Klass, told NBC News this week that she called in beekeeper Curtis Collins after she discovered bees in the attic of her century-old farmhouse. Using a thermal camera in the three-year-old's room a few weeks ago, Collins would uncover a beehive weighing more than 100 pounds. I kid you not, it lit up like Christmas in the wall right next to my daughter's closet, Klass recalled about seeing the thermal imaging. When I first thought it was like a man in the wall, I was really startled.
So for a split second, this local mom was also convinced there was an actual monster in the wall?
They do exist.
Anyways, it appears as though the beekeeper was able to safely remove the hive and save a majority of the bees along with it. And look, another positive story here. It's been a great week in general for beekeepers.
Yeah, it does like warm my heart a little bit that everyone in general does seem on board with the idea that like we should be, you know, bees are inconvenient, but we should be doing our best to like keep them alive.
They're not inconvenient. They just sting people sometimes, and sometimes people are allergic to them. But in general, bees are not just a net positive, a wildly positive thing for the earth.
Not even wildly positive. They are essential.
essential.
If we lose the bees, we're fucked.
Yeah.
So.
It seems like a pretty bipartisan thing. Everyone seems to like bees. They don't like getting stung by them.
I would like the bees
like
to
the
stay
idea
around.
That they are here.
Because without bees, we all have to go out and get little paintbrushes and paint pollen on the fucking flowers. And that sounds boring as shit. I don't want to do it. Let the bees do the job.
It's been a great week for beekeepers, though, because at a recent game between the Los Angeles Dodgers...
Yay!
And the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Boo!
The game itself was delayed for hours after thousands of bees made themselves right at home along the protective netting above home plate. And the stadium, they had to call in a local beekeeper at night when he's off work.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, this beekeeper
His beeper went off. Oh, God. Sorry, babe.
Gotta go. No, actually, it was
duty calls.
It wasn't worse than that, but he was 25 miles away at his son's baseball game. So he had to trade one game for the other.
Sorry, son. The bees come first.
And so do the major league teams. But you're going to be on their radar now, so keep up the good work.
They should have just left it. It would be a fun variable that, like, you're rounding third and you're coming up on home plate. But if you slide into home plate too fast, you will startle a giant hive of bees and they will sting you. Yeah. How badly do you want this win?
Yeah. And also, the umpire better get the right calls because otherwise the bees are going to be upset.
Yeah, the bees will make the calls.
They have a bee's eye view of
they
calls.
Do. They can see that batter box perfectly well.
So the beekeeper, he made the trek over to Phoenix to help remove and relocate the bees so the game could proceed. And that beekeeper, he became a goddamn hero that day to those in attendance as they cheered for him during the removal process. and their admiration turned into a league-wide celebration as the beekeeper, Matt Hilton, was then asked to throw out a ceremonial first pitch.
Was he still in his bee outfit?
Yeah, I think he took the mask off.
Oh, okay.
He was interviewed by MLB and other major sports outlets and even got his own Topps baseball card.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, really, riding a high on this.
Yeah.
Saved the day and got the admiration of his local baseball team and citizens, I guess.
That's cool. I do wish we cared about our fellow human beings as much as we care about bees, but
better life is possible.
Yeah, I'll take the bee news, I guess. If that's all I can get, I'll take the fucking bee news.
I'll enjoy it, damn it.
Okay, I guess we figured out how to finish the show on a positive note there. We will try our best to get back to our regularly scheduled dumb, weird, fun, and funny content very shortly, because our next upload is going to be weekly weird news.
Yeah. So
stay tuned for that. But first, again, donate to those campus bail funds if you are able. Also, make sure that you hit the like button
hit
on this video.
Hit the like button. Do it now.
And yeah, leave a comment, reply to a comment, engage with the video so that we can continue to grow this channel.
Uh-huh.
Our previous episodes will pop up in just a second over on this side, but we want to leave you with a speech from Columbia professor Rashid Khalidi, who is the professor of modern Arab studies and also wrote one of the best books on the decades-long Israel-Palestine conflict called The 100 Years' War on Palestine. I'm about ready to read it for a second time. It's that good.
Mm-hmm.
Here he is speaking after the campus raids by police. So we'll leave you with this and see you in the next one.
When I was a student back in the 60s, we were told we were led by a bunch of outside agitators, by politicians nobody remembers the name of today. We were the conscience of this nation when we opposed the Vietnam War and racism. Back in 1968 and 1969 and 1970, the Vietnam War stopped because the people opposed it. And the people who led that were students. And the students who led that were here at Columbia and at Berkeley and a few other campuses on this fair Turtle Island. Students have been on the right side of history at Columbia and at other universities ever since the 1960s. We today honor the students who in 1968 opposed a genocidal, illegal, shameful war. Columbia University honors them. They're on the Columbia website. You can check it out yourself. 1968 is commemorated. One day, what our students did here will be commemorated in the same way.
Yeah! Yeah.